And if you would turn to Psalms 127, now, the book of Psalms is generally easy to find, and the Pew Bible is really easy. Open up to the middle, and you will find the book of Psalms. 127, if you can count, you can find it. All right? Even though Andrew insists that today is brought to you by the letter A and the number 3, it's actually the number 5, because it's 5 babies being dedicated today, but that's all right. You know, it is a great celebration, way bigger than the pastor now has to have his hair turned blue. It's really great that we get to celebrate by having 5 baby dedications today. You know, we're celebrating that new lives are here, new lives that we have the pleasure to share in. New lives, we're celebrating God's goodness, God's mercy, His grace, and we're celebrating that these parents, these families, wish to dedicate these children. It's a wonderful time. It's a great blessing. So as we get started here, I'd like to read Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for He grants sleep to those He loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from Him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. So maybe the beginning of that seems kind of funny to start with a child dedication sermon. But right there in the middle, we see children are a heritage from the Lord. We think of a heritage, right? They're His property. When we get something like in an inheritance, we get a heritage. It's somebody giving their property to us. God's property that He has given us. So some thoughts out of this. Children are a gift from God. Now, it doesn't always seem that way, right? 2 in the morning, you know, he or she just isn't going to stop crying, you know. Anytime, what's that? When they're 17 and it seems they're never going to stop crying. but this is God's special possession that He has lent to you. That's what all of our families are, all of our children. Think of them like a cherished heirloom that's been passed on. An heirloom of inestimable value. I mean, it's invaluable. You can't place a value on this. Yeah, they're burdensome sometimes, right? They're troublesome, they get noisy, they get messy, sometimes they get kind of stinky, right? Argumentative, especially once they hit like 2, right? Until, well, ours are 28 and 30, and they have, no. There's some point where they quit being argumentative, they just don't listen to anymore. But kids can be a mess, right? And they can be troublesome. But they're a gift. Even the troublesomeness, even the issues, even the struggles are a gift. The struggle is a gift. The whole experience is a gift from God. It's part of God's love for us that we get to raise children. I know we don't always think about it that way, but it's true. They're God's gift to us. And, you know, for each individual child, it's God's gift to you. Our children were God's gift to my wife and I. You know, grandchildren now are God's gift, well, to our kids, but also to us. You know, we get to do all those nasty things that my parents used to do that we hated. Right? You know, we're going to go soon visit one who's, well, one of the 2 or 3 cutest babies in the universe. None of them are here. You know... Since Jody started with her granddaughter is the cutest, I got to start talking about mine. You know, I've got a granddaughter who's 7 months. I'm sending her a drum set. You know? Yeah. The other one is 2 months. It's going to be a big electronic keyboard that the power button is shut off. I mean, it's wired out. It can't be shut off. And nuclear powered. So it can't. I swear my dad would have done that if he could have to us. But they're a gift to you. You know, as parents, as grandparents, these children are given to you. Not anybody else. Even if they're adopted, whatever. It's a gift to you. Right? You've been chosen by God to raise these kids. Now, part of that is it's your responsibility. Right? You're going to need help. But you're the parents. And you got to do it. But on the other side of that, if you don't right now feel inadequate, there will be times when you do. I think I felt inadequate starting with when my wife told me she was pregnant. And I don't think I've ever gotten past that yet. You will feel inadequate. The task of raising kids, it's overwhelming. I mean, and you will have tons of doubts. I think if you ask anybody who's been a parent more than a week, you will have tons of doubts. It's one of the things I tried to tell my children as they started having kids. You know, you may think I always knew what I was doing and I seemed so self-assured. Never. Never. Right? I always wondered if we were doing the right thing. It's overwhelming. But God gave you these babies. And it's you're the ones for the job, right? There's no better than you for your children. No one's up to the task, so just accept that. You know, I think there's a balance here. We give our children our best, and we trust God. It's like a partnership. We do the best we can. We do the best we know, and then everything else is up to God. And we have to learn to rest in Him in that then. To just recognize that we can't control everything and we shouldn't control everything. God watches over these children, right? Let's assume with me God knows everything. Okay? Most people will accept that, right? Omniscient. Okay? That means before He created anything, okay, before the Bible starts, before the beginning, God knew everything. Which means He knew your kids before anything was made. And He knew what they'd do. I mean, and that applies to all of us. It applies to us. And we just have to trust God. You know, there are so many things. God, you just need to take care of this. They're God's gift. Enjoy raising them. And be a partner with Him. Okay? Once you've done what you can, you rest in God. You pray and you rest in God. And a third point is that children are lent to us. We don't ever really own kids. Right? Especially a 17-year-old, right? No, anybody. You don't really own your two-week-old. Right? These children belong to God. All of us belong to God. They're heirlooms that are on loan to us. We're going to pass them on. So children need to be raised God's way. Right? The beginning of this psalm said, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. God needs to be the middle of all this. Okay, by the way, as far as the other point, in vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for He grants sleep to those He loves. Isn't that a great verse for people trying to raise kids? He grants sleep to those He loves. Okay? Janelle, where are you? Back there? Are all the moms of little kids back there? They're all back there. See, none of them. Okay, see, now I won't get challenged on that, you know. Well, then God must not love me because I haven't slept in a month. right? I remember what that's like. No, God gives us rest. But God lends us our children. You know, in this text, God builds the house or the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over, the guards stand watch in vain. If we think of the house and the city as our families, we recognize that unless God is at the center of what we do, everything is in vain. It's just worthless. If God's not in the center of what we do, it's all worthless. You know, what is it to gain the whole world but to lose your soul, right? They can know everything, but if they don't know God, if they don't know Jesus, it's just, we homeschooled. Okay, that's not a great choice for a lot of people, and I don't want to say you should do that, but the beginning of homeschooling was, what do you want to teach your kids? And our children needed to learn all kinds of things like English and math and history and all that kind of stuff, how to drive standard and all kinds of things. Seriously, we made them learn. They hated me for it. But the first thing they had to learn, the top priority of every day was they need to learn to know Jesus and trust him and walk with him. And in everything we do, that's going to be in the center of everything. Children need to be taught. Right living needs to be modeled, right? They need to learn about the Lord. They need to be loved and disciplined. And I think those two are the two sides of the same coin. If we don't discipline people, they don't feel loved. If you want somebody to feel out of control, victimized, and unloved, don't discipline them. It'll work every time. If you want someone to learn to feel loved and cherished and important and to feel like they have choices they can make in life, discipline them. What they do makes a difference. It's all there. We need to raise kids God's way. Children are treasures. They need to be held close because they're treasures. They need to be loved because they're treasures. But then on the other hand, they're God's. So children need to be held with open hands before God. Our kids have done things that we wouldn't have chosen for them. And we knew God wanted them to do it. So they had to do it. You know, I would not have chosen for our nearest child to be like 1,200 miles away. But they're where God wants them to be. You know? The best thing we can do is teach our kids to follow Christ and then let them. Even if we don't like the answer. You know, maybe one of these children that we dedicate today is going to want to do something incredibly dangerous for God. Maybe they're going to want to go to, in their day, whatever's going on in the world, the most dangerous country in the world to minister, to be a missionary. I would hate that for my kids. I mean, maybe they would want to go somewhere and we don't think we'll ever see them again because of where they're going. Well, if that's what God wants them to do, we have to hold them like that before God. When they're old enough, when they're mature enough, they need to follow God. And my goodness, but we need God's help. I think the best thing we can do as a parent is to be right with God ourselves. We have to watch our personal relationship with God and let him lead us. We have to live for Christ. I think one of the best things we can do about having godly children is to be godly parents. Right? You know, whatever you think that means, however you understand that to be. You know, for us, we always went to church. This was long before I was a pastor, right? Of course you went to church. You're the pastor. No, our kids one was graduated out of high school, the other one was a junior in high school when I started to pastor. But their entire life, Sunday we go to church. The only way you don't go to church on Sunday is the same rules that would stop you from going to school. If you're sick enough, you don't go, right? I mean, you know, we never dragged anybody with a high-grade fever and a flu and pneumonia in here. But the same rules. We go to church on Sunday because it's important. And we all went. I never sent our children to church. I never sent our children to Sunday school. I took them. And we came. And we sat through Sunday school just like they sat through Sunday school because it was important. So, that sounds like a commercial, doesn't it? Okay. We need to be godly parents. It's the best thing we got. Now, for all of us who don't have children being dedicated today, we need to be here to help. It's part of being a family. All of us sometimes need Jesus with skin on, right? Sometimes we need somebody to wrap their arms around us and say, you know, I can help you with this. I know this is hard. Or I know you don't know what to do. I didn't know what to do then either. I'll help. Or I know you need a break. So I'll volunteer my wife to give you a break. Whatever. Anyway, you know, church life is a lot like home life. We love having kids around, but kids can be a pain. You know, they can be messy, they can be noisy, they can be smelly, they can be argumentative, right? They can do things that are terribly disruptive. But that's what kids are, right? Kids are kids, and we need to let them be kids. Many of us grown-ups don't know how to be grown-ups yet. We're acting like kids. I mean, look what Jody did. But we need to let the kids be kids. And when they're noisy, it needs to be okay. And when they're messy, it needs to be okay. And, you know, they spill drinks and they, you know, they do things that people shouldn't do. And that's just the way children are. And we, as a church body, need to be okay with all that. We need to make room. And you know what? Those children are a gift to us. And the struggle is a gift to us. One of the hardest parts of church ministry, one of the hardest areas to staff, Pat, where are you? Is children's ministry. It's hard to get people to do that. We love having kids around, and we want somebody else to help take care of them. Like I said, I'll volunteer my wife to give you a break, right? Somebody else needs to do this. And I get it, right? We're not all good with kids. We're not, right? But somebody has to do it. And, you know, somebody's got to teach beginner church. Somebody's got to teach Sunday school. Somebody's got to be in the nursery. Someone's got to be in the toddler room. And we need people to do it. No one should do it all the time. The problem is if none of us do it, then it's the parents who do it all the time. And they start to think, well, why don't I just stay home? I mean, if I'm going to do is babysit my own kids, if I'm not going to get to sit through church anyway, ever, you know, maybe we should think of Sunday morning kind of like Thanksgiving dinner. That's coming up fast, right? Nobody wants to sit at the kids' table. Nobody does. But somebody has to. And we need to take turns. Right? We just need to take turns. If we think of every Sunday as Thanksgiving, which is not a bad analogy, we need to take turns sitting at the kids' table. You know, I take this very seriously myself. Now, during any normal Sunday, being in the nursery would be kind of weird because generally I'm up here. But I help with the youth group because it's Sunday nights, right? And we have two youth groups that meet, and I have told our youth group leaders, you tell me what you want me to do. You tell me what age you want me to be. I am here to help you, okay? And once the kids got over the fact that the pastor was there, which means they can't have any fun, and they got used to it, it all started to work out pretty good. And that's something I can do. I can help with the nursery during Sunday school because I don't teach Sunday school. We need to each take our turn. And if we can accept that children are a gift of God, if we can accept that raising children is a gift of God, even in the struggle, then me or you giving our time once in a while to sit in the nursery or to teach beginner church is a gift from God. Now, how about thinking about it that way? You know, instead of, all right, I'll help in the nursery. Like, hey, this is a gift. I can help in the nursery. I get to help raise these beautiful little children. And they are all beautiful. Even Jody shaking her head, yes, they're all beautiful. You know, they are. They are beautiful kids. Helping to raise the kids is part of our worship. It's recognizing that they're important. It's recognizing that pouring into them is important. It's recognizing that God has given them to us. It's a wonderful blessing. So we're going to do some baby dedications. All right? Because we had to put some kind of an order to this, we're going to do each family individually. We're going to do it in alphabetical order. I know it's not original, but it works. Okay? So if the Herberts want to come up here, and so they're getting ready. If the Herberts want to come up, we're going to come up here so that everybody can see. What beautiful kids, huh? Yes, right. And they're color coordinated too. Man, oh man, look at this. This is so nice. What beautiful kids. Dear friends, you have brought these children, whom God has given you, to be dedicated to God and His service. By this act, you testify to your faith in Christ Jesus, and also your desire that your children will receive the benefits of being consecrated to God, and of the prayers and help of the church, and may learn early to know and follow the will of God, and therefore may live a Christian life. In order to help this happen, it will be your duty as parents to teach your children early by word and example in the fear of the Lord. Also to watch over their education, that they may not be led astray by false teachings or doctrines, and to direct their minds to the Holy Scriptures as expressing the will and authority of God for all people. It will also be your duty to direct their feet to the sanctuary, to restrain from evil associates and habits, and as much as you are able, to bring them up in the Lord's discipline and instruction. Will you endeavor to do so by the help of the Lord? If so, say we will. Mark 10:13-16 tells us, people were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. Now, as the congregation, I commend to your love and care these children, whom we are about to dedicate to God and His service. Will you endeavor to so live that they may grow in the knowledge, love, and grace of God the Father through our Savior Jesus Christ? Will you live your lives and help, as the Lord enables you, that these children will be surrounded by steadfast love, established in faith, and nurtured in the way of eternal life? If so, say, we will. So, Amelia Elizabeth Herbert and Derek Ryan Herbert, on behalf of your parents and this congregation, I dedicate you unto the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we ask your blessing and your protection upon this family. We ask for you to continue to watch over Amelia and Derek. Continue to strengthen them and help them to grow in wisdom. Help them to grow in knowledge. May they grow in the grace and knowledge of you, coming to a saving grace, a saving knowledge of you. May they be your children. We ask you, God, to give wisdom and strength to the parents and the entire family. Bless them as they grow together. May their home be a haven of rest and of peace. And may your Spirit pour grace upon them all. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There they are, Amelia and Derek Herbert. Wow, very nice. Thanks. Okay, then the Pennas. Yeah. If you are here specifically for the Penna family, would you raise your hand? Yeah, that's what I thought. Very nice, very nice. Thank you for coming. I'm just guessing, you must all know Valerie, because Mario doesn't have friends. So, okay, back to business. Dear friends, you have brought these children, whom God has given you, to be dedicated to God and His service. By this act, you testify to your faith in Christ Jesus, and also your desire that your children will receive the benefits of consecration to God and of the prayers and help of the church, and may learn early to know and follow the will of God, and therefore may live a Christian life. In order to help this happen, it will be your duty as parents to teach your children early by word and example in the fear of the Lord. Also to watch over their education, that they may not be led astray by false teachings or doctrine, and to direct their minds to the Holy Scriptures as expressing the will and authority of God for all people. It will also be your duty to direct their feet to the sanctuary, to restrain them from evil associates and habits, and as much as you are able, to bring them up in the Lord's discipline and instruction. Will you endeavor to do so by the help of the Lord Jesus? If so, say, we will.
We will.
Isaiah 44 tells us, this is what the Lord says. Your Redeemer who formed you in the womb, I am the Lord, the maker of all things, who stretches out the heavens and spreads out the earth by himself, by myself. So again, brothers and sisters here in the congregation, I commend to your love and care these children whom we are about to get to dedicate to God and His service. Will you endeavor to so live that they may grow in the knowledge, love, and grace of God the Father through our Savior Jesus Christ? Will you live your lives and help, as the Lord enables you, that these children will be surrounded by steadfast love, established in faith, and nurtured in the way of eternal life? If so, say, we will. Who has which? Okay, that's my thought. But Mario? Yes, yes, good yawn. Mario J.L. Penna and Audrey Grace Penna, on behalf of your parents and this congregation, I dedicate you unto the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, we give you thanks for these children. And we ask your blessing and your protection upon them. We ask your blessing, protection upon the family, the household. May it be a home of rest and peace. May it be a place where your light shines and your grace is seen. We ask you, Lord, to give wisdom, strength, and encouragement to the parents and the entire family that they may be your instruments in raising these children. And Lord, may they grow in grace and knowledge and come to a saving faith in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Mario and Audrey. And then the Voss family. Dear friends, you have brought this child, whom God has given you, to be dedicated to God and to his service. By this act, you testify to your faith in Jesus Christ and also your desire that this child will receive the benefits of consecration to God and of the prayers and help of the church, and may learn early to know and follow the will of God, and therefore may live a Christian life. In order to help this happen, it will be your duty as parents to teach your child early by word and example in the fear of the Lord, also to watch over his education, that he may not be led astray by false teachings or doctrines, and to direct his mind to the Holy Scriptures as expressing the will and authority of God for all people. It will also be your duty to direct his feet to the sanctuary, to restrain him from evil associates and habits, and as much as you are able to bring him up in the Lord's discipline and instruction. Will you endeavor to do so by the help of the Lord? If so, say we will. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. It's James 1:17. Brothers and sisters, again, I commend to your loving care this child, whom we are about to dedicate to God and his service. Will you endeavor to so live that he may grow in the knowledge, love, and grace of God the Father through our Savior Jesus Christ? Will you live your lives and help as the Lord enables you, that he will be surrounded by steadfast love, established in the faith, and nurtured in the way of eternal life? If so, say, we will. So Samuel Dirk Voss, on behalf of your parents and this congregation, I dedicate you unto the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we ask now your blessing, your protection, your grace for this child and for this family. We ask you, Lord, for strength, for discernment, for wisdom for the parents. We ask you, Lord, that they will have a home of grace and peace, a home of love where your light and your life shines. We ask you, Lord, that Samuel would grow up to know you and to love you, that he would be a joy to his parents. And Lord, may you meet all the needs of this family by the riches of your glory in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Samuel Dirk Voss. Lord God, as we go today, fill us, use us for your glory and your honor. And may all who see us see you inside of us shining through. In Jesus' name, amen.